This is a Slow India production, and you are listening to Every Indian's Checklist.
You've got mail.
If you get a mail saying if you invest 20,000 rupees, you will get 30% interest per year, would you believe it? We know that it is not possible, but some get loaded to it. And let's say you deposit the 20,000 rupees in their account, a year goes by, and you still don't hear from them or you're not able to contact them. That is when you realize that you've been cheated by this person, and you have no clue on how to go ahead. This is a common kind of story many of us would have heard, with a warning: do not fall for this.
Hi, this is Vaishali, the host of Every Indian's Checklist.
And this is Rakesh Kamal, your co-host.
Despite awareness, many of us lose money online through different ways. When someone random or so-called online friend offers a gift or money-back offer, they fall for this trick. As per the National Crime Records Bureau, over 27,000 cybercrimes were reported in 2018, of which over 50% were cyber frauds.
In most of our social media crimes, the victim starts getting anxious. Nothing has really happened, but the victim is now starting getting anxious that she or he is getting stalked or bullied, or a lot of obscene content is being thrown at her.
This is Vaishali Bhagwat. She is a practicing civil, cyber and privacy lawyer.
The moment you are conscious or aware that there are things that which have started going wrong, and you have never consented to either this sort of a communication or a fraud that may be happening to you, you can approach the nearest police station with your complaint. Why am I saying nearest police station? Because it need not necessarily be a cybercrime cell, though it is a cyber offense. Because most of the people have this in their heads now, that I need to report it only to the cybercrime cell, or only in where the jurisdiction is. The jurisdiction is not the victim's headache. It is for the police to take care, which is the right police station with jurisdiction or either the right cybercrime cell. So first, go to the nearest police station. Go with a written complaint, because then it's easier even for the police officer to understand what has happened. So even if it's a simple one-page draft. Generally, I advise that put it chronologically, so it's again easy to follow, right from what happened, say 10 days back or 3 months back, till what has happened today. And also collect maximum documentation or evidence that you may have to support the complaint. Then for the police officer to act fast on your complaint becomes easier. Otherwise, he will keep asking you questions, rightfully so, because he will need more information to understand what has gone wrong. And then either complaint gets registered or not registered. Right? Put your signature on it, give your full name, give your communication details, give your address, give your phone number, give your email. So that for the police officer, it becomes easier. Then he doesn't spend time asking you these basic questions.
People can as well file their complaint through cybercrime.gov.in. So like she said, the cop might not have registered an FIR yet, saying that there isn't enough proof or details. And many might even think that the complaint itself is an FIR. Pritesh Bhatia, who's been a cybercrime investigator for more than 20 years, tells us more about it.
Well, if you see now in most of the cases, like at least the victims that come to me or I have heard about, like, you know, the FIR is not done only. The police just takes a complaint on a plain paper. It acknowledges it, puts it as a stamp and a sign. And everybody thinks that, okay, this is an FIR. Because honestly, many people, when I ask them, so did you go to the cops? They say, yeah, we have an FIR. But that's not really the FIR copy. They don't even know what an FIR looks like. So for them, police acknowledging their complaint by signing and stamping it, they think it's an FIR. I doubt even if they know the full form of it also. And I'm referring even to these educated people, by the way. So as far as the cops are concerned, yeah, like, see, most of the time, they know if these are like kind of harassment calls or these are victims of those, the Paytm thing or the KYC frauds. or UPI frauds and all, they know that it's difficult to catch these guys. They just take it as a complaint, and unfortunately, a lot of blame goes on the victim himself. An FIR kind of guarantees an action has to be taken once an FIR is lodged. So that's like the real thing, because the police then has to close that particular case the moment they have done an FIR. But in a case of a formal complaint, there is no pressure on them to close the case or anything. They wouldn't have a record. Of lately, when I was looking at the cybercrime statistics, which the NCRB released, when I was looking at the number of the complaints received, and I was like, kind of like, wow, so less. So that's really not the true story, if you see that. Because those number of complaints are the FIRs. When you go to the bank and say, okay, you made this particular complaint. Okay, so there are many banks who are considerate enough. So, and there are some banks who say, no, this is not an FIR copy.
Srinivas Kumar, who is the Assistant Commissioner, Cyberabad Cybercrime Police Station in Hyderabad, says that while they get 20 to 30 cases per day, only about 450 cases were filed as FIRs in 2019.
First, they will give you their acceptance with an inward stamp or an inward signature and a date. So, even you have proof that you have actually filed this complaint on a certain date and at a certain time. You can, as a victim, you can always insist that that letter has to be accepted and that inward number is given. Now, what happens is, it may not be possible to register an FIR immediately because perhaps whatever required details are not mentioned in the complaint or there isn't enough evidence. But if there is enough material in the complaint itself, and if prima facie reveals an offence either committed under the Indian Penal Code or the Information Technology Act, immediately a FIR gets registered, irrespective of whether the name of the offender is known or unknown. So let's take an example. In one of my cases, it was a matrimonial fraud, and it was about some person this lady had met online on Facebook. And she's been having a conversation with him for the last 6 months. And there were a lot of exchanges also later on email and WhatsApp. And he had sent pictures of gifts that he was planning to send her. And then under that disguise, he said, because now those gifts are stuck in customs, etc., you need to pay certain amounts to various people. So see, there are so many facts, right? In a case like this, if she just goes with a one-page complaint saying that I have met Mr. So-and-so, he cheated me and I have transferred, say, a couple of lakhs in these various accounts, now I want to file a complaint against that person. This is not enough because the cops may say, okay, now give me all the correspondence that you have on your Facebook Messenger, or I would want screenshots of whatever conversation that you had with that person. Once all that is given, FIR will be registered.
But remember that when you take the complaint to the magistrate court, you'll have to appoint a lawyer. If you can't afford legal services, there are free legal aid centers available on the court premises itself. The government will provide a lawyer for you to file the case.
Apart from going to the police station, you can go to the civil court if you just want the money back and file a case against the person with all the evidence. You don't have to file an FIR for doing this.
There is a loss in terms of emotional trauma and inconvenience and perhaps loss of productivity. The way you work otherwise in office is great, but because of all this happening, you've taken, say, extended leaves for like 10 days or 15 days. So there is loss of pay also. But in a scenario like this, so you can go to the cybercrime cell or to the nearest police station and say, I know who this person is, and this is the evidence that he's the same person. So you have to prove that he's the same person, or at least prima facie have some evidence to that effect. Then FIR will get registered against him for whatever offences he has done, either under IT Act or ITC. At the same time, you will also have a right to recover your money for all the factors that I mentioned earlier, that's lost, right? You can claim that as a compensation from the person by filing a case or a complaint before the adjudicating officer, who is a special officer appointed under the Information Technology Act. So the case at hand is that there is someone from Facebook who you know who has been harassing you with obscene messages. So for circulation of obscene messages or cyber stalking or criminal intimidation, or there could be other sections that you would want to invoke, for that you can file a police complaint. Now the other part. Now for the same offense, because he was sending you obscene texts, he was engaging in a conversation which was causing fear and anxiety in you, you had a general sense of fear and you also said, okay, now let me handle this, and for that I need to take leave from my office. Even if you were in office, your productivity had gone down. You were constantly anxious about what is going to happen next, whether there is threat to life or whether there is any physical threat to you. For all this, you have a right to claim compensation. This compensation can be claimed before a special officer. You need not go to any court, or which is the civil court, but you need to go to the special officer who is named as the adjudicating officer under the Information Technology Act. Only with a cyber offense, you can go to the adjudicating officer. For any other offense, you have to go to the civil court for compensation.
An adjudicating officer is appointed by the central government. He will be the judge for cases under the IT Act in which the claim for damage does not exceed 5 crore rupees. They have the powers of both civil and criminal courts. If you are not satisfied with this decision, then the next step is to appeal to the Cyber Appellate Tribunal. And if the decision there isn't to your satisfaction, then you can appeal to the High Court within 2 months.
Everybody is talking about the Jaan Tara Netflix series. But that thing is actually a fact. Clearly shows how these guys just go, dupe the people, get the money out, and they remove the money. They siphon it off immediately. Every day this case is happening. So every day in that case, the cop will say, okay, now again, okay, I just came back today. Tomorrow again, I have to go back to Jaan Tara. Because if you look at it on a daily basis, in per police station, you're getting at least 2 to 3 cybercrime complaints. And unfortunately, you know, in the cyberspace, everything works in like nanoseconds. By that time, you know, all your money has been, which was siphoned off from your account, has now also been withdrawn from the criminal's account also. The cyber criminal had also withdrawn it. You know, in a very recent case, the police was also very, very proactive also. You know, the moment like a particular person lost 30,000 rupees and he just simply rushed to the cop. The cop said, we'll do the paperwork later, but let us first go and get your money. And because the bank from where he was holding the account, it was just across the road. So the lady cop and this victim, they both went into that particular bank and they said, look, it's his money and you stop it there and there itself.
There is no geographical or legal boundary for cybercrime as it happens online. So there is no particular jurisdiction for it. And everything happens really quick. So say for instance, I am sitting at work in Hyderabad and I get an alert about a transaction that took place over my card in Delhi. Then we know it's a clear case of fraud. After alerting the bank, I will then have to file a complaint here in Hyderabad, and it is the duty of the cyber police of both Hyderabad and Delhi to immediately investigate this.
Somewhere in Rajasthan, people are posing as army officials and selling iPhones at dirt cheap prices or cars at dirt cheap prices. And they produce their military cars or liquor cars, or, you know, the army cars and all that. So again, you know, the cop will say, okay, today I have to go to Jharkhand. He comes back, arrests a particular person. He'll say, okay, tomorrow I have to go over there. Then we don't have that kind of force also. I mean, if you go to the police station, there are just 2 officers or 3 or maybe 1 in some cases or none in some cases who are actually looking only and only after cybercrime. So the cyber cops needs to be like a different thing altogether. It should be like without any jurisdictions. So like these are our cops and these are our like kind of cyber cops. Cyber cops are there, a cyber court is there, cyber judges are there, you know, who know technology well, who know what is happening. These banks and all that, they can be like a part of some kind of consortium. The RBI needs to step in. It's been seeing these frauds since so many years now. The duties of the officers and the limitations that they have, or maybe the powers that they have, everything needs to be worked out. maybe, if not engineers, at least they are like BSc, IT, or things like that. Or maybe they have been trained vocationally. Let them be from a typical police background also, but they are trained. Because the cyber line is complex. It's technical in nature and it keeps evolving. Whatever we downloaded yesterday is outdated today. It's so, so fast. Like, I have trained a lot of police officers. So now I train these officers and after a few months, we come to know, okay, somebody's been moved to traffic. Somebody has gone back to the regular police station. So what was the whole point?
Cyber frauds usually take place in a matter of minutes or even seconds. So the usual investigative mechanism, which takes days, are not effective. And that's why prevention is better than cure in cybercrime. Social engineering attacks are the favorite methods of cybercriminals of late. In this method, a cybercriminal poses as a customer call executive from your bank and convinces you to hand over sensitive information regarding your bank account or say Paytm account details.
Another good example of social engineering fraud is phishing, wherein fake websites are created to mimic commonly used websites such as banking, governance, insurance, or e-commerce, among others. Phishing emails with links which direct the user to the fake websites are another common method of cyber fraud. Once a user logs into the website, they are prompted to enter their personal details. Then there is vishing, wherein I call you and I impersonate as a banker and tell you to give me your credit, debit details or your UPI PIN over phone. And the third is smishing. That is, I send you an SMS. For example, you get an SMS claiming that your debit card points are expiring and that you are set to lose 8,000 rupees worth of points. Call upon this number to redeem those points. These three things come under social engineering.
One very classic example is about the sextortion scams. You know, our email IDs were breached and even the passwords. You know, if you go to something called as Have I Been Pwned, and you just enter your email ID, it will tell you at various places where your email ID has been breached and whether your password was also leaked. So yes, the attack that was happened with Zomato and so many. So there's a lot of our email IDs and our passwords which are available on the dark web. It is there with the hackers. So the hackers said, we got this 200 million email IDs and passwords. What do we do? Do we go to each and every account and just start like trying to log in or, you know, use that email ID and password that as if it will be the same for the Facebook and just take up the account, you know, take over Facebook and all that of that particular person? They said, no, let's think something better. They sent an email to all these people on different days and different months and all. And in the subject line, they gave them the password. They already had the password. The hackers already had the password, which they got it from the dark web. In the email, they said, anybody reading that will say, oh my God, how does he know this password of mine? And they said, okay, we have this password, which means we have hacked into your email account, which means we have also hacked into your mobile phone and your laptop. And while you were watching pornography, we captured you also doing steamy acts while you were watching that. So we have a screen. On one side of the screen, it's you doing some steamy acts. And on the other side is the pornography that's playing. And they made this fake email and told them that if you don't give us this kind of money, which was generally like, you know, they would ask for $1,000 in bitcoins, we would be releasing this video to all your friends. So many people fell prey to this.
Like we were speaking earlier as well, without enough evidence, the cops won't file an FIR. And much worse, they will not be able to investigate the case. No matter what, how embarrassing it might be for us, or who will end up judging us for indulging in it, we should always remember to have at least a backup of the proof. Like say, the video recording, screen recording, or screenshots, or you record the call, or even a regular chat history. The call logs or the SMSs will help us when we go to the cops. Once we panic and delete them, we will lose one key thing to prove the case, that is the evidence. We can block that person or even have the phone switched off if we feel unsafe. It is really important to have a voice or call recorder and a screen recorder in our devices. If the cops are considerate enough, they might not look into it unless necessary. If it is a lady, the lady can always ask for a lady cop and show it to her.
At times, the police may ask for your phone or a laptop if there are any messages from the perpetrator on your device, or whether you have actually instigated the perpetrator. There might be some evidence against you on the device that you may not be stating the truth. If the cops feel that is important that they also see and check what you are saying is correct or not, they may want your device.
It is within their rights to ask for your device. The only thing that they need to do is they need to do a forensic search on it. They can't just open your device and start going through it. They need to forensically acquire it from you, do a forensic analysis and produce a report. That is your right. You can always insist that I will give you my device as long as you put it through forensics. They may need your device to see what all is available on your device. You are also sure that there is no tampering with it, and you are also sure that the courts will accept the report.
So remember, cyber fraud can happen to any one of us. Just be aware and make sure to not destroy any evidences, because without it, you can't even file an FIR. Always have screen recorder apps installed and be wary of people whom you meet online. Don't just trust and share your personal details like OTPs and passwords. Prevention is always better than cure.
Thank you for listening to Every Indian's Checklist. You can listen to this podcast in our website sunoindia.in and any other podcast app of your choice.